Some people think that those of us who practice breath meditation would be really up the creek on days when it's hard to breathe. But that's not the case at all. If you really get to know your breath, energy, and the body, you can find that that makes difficult breathing a lot easier. Think of a John Lee when he discovered this method. He'd walked 3 days into the forest, planning to spend the rains retreat. And soon after he arrived at the spot where he's going to stay, he suffered a heart attack. And from his description, it sounds like a series. He knew it was possible he could die. But he decided to look at what he had. He didn't have much in terms of medicine. The food was very meager. But he did have his breath. And even the area around the chest may have been very heavy for him, he realized that there was breath in other parts of the body. And so he used that. He'd learned already that you can focus on the breath up in the head. But he began to realize there's more. The breath that goes down the spine, the breath that goes down the legs, down the arms. So he took advantage of that. By working with the breath energies in the body, he was able to pull himself together, and at the end of the 3 months of the retreat, he was able to walk out of the forest. I had a similar lesson shortly before I came to the States, or came back to the States. I had a lethal case of malaria. And in malaria, the parasites come out and they feed on your red blood cells. They starve your muscles of oxygen. And I began to find that the muscles that were doing the breathing were getting very tired. It was getting difficult to breathe. And then I thought of a John Lee's descriptions of the various places in the head and the different parts of the body where the breath can come in and go out. So I focused my attention there. I thought of the breath coming in and out through the forehead, through the top of the head, in from the back of the neck, down the spine. So the muscles that had been doing all the work got to rest. Other muscles pitched in. I was able to move the responsibility around by changing the spot where I focused, and found it a lot easier to breathe. And simply keeping the idea of whole breath body, whole breath energy, whole body energy can make a difference. I have a student who's got lung, or compromised lung capacity, and it's gotten now that she's got to wear an oxygen monitor. To keep her apprised of what her oxygen level is in her blood at all the time. And she began to notice that when she was meditating and she was doing whole body breathing, that the oxygen level went up. She hadn't changed the rhythm of breathing that much from what she ordinarily would do. But the simple fact of thinking of breath energy, or thinking of expanding all the capillaries all the way out to the skin, raised the oxygen level in her body. So if you know how to deal with the breath, it makes it a lot easier to deal with times when it is hard to breathe. This is a skill we should keep in mind. As John Lee says, we have lots of potentials in the body, lots of potentials in the mind. And they're very elemental, which is one of the reasons why we overlook them. We have space as well. We hold a perception of space in mind. As the body gets tight, sometimes it seems like there's no comfortable spot in the body to focus at all. But think of space. Space surrounds the body. And it can permeate through the body. In between all the atoms, even inside the atoms, there's space. That perception helps to cut through the shells that we create of tension and pain. The mind has a tendency to play connect the dots, with pain here in the body, pain there in the body, and then it goes around and around and around. It tightens up. It winds you up. And a cascade of pain. And then you subconsciously try to use that sense of the wound up body to do the breathing, to do the work. It makes it even worse. So whatever you can do to cut through that sense of connecting the pain, say with the perception of space, or you can have a perception of a knife that cuts through any point where you feel there's a line connecting one pain to another. Use whatever works. If you have trouble focusing on any of these techniques, at the very least, think thoughts of goodwill for all beings. Because one of the worst parts of feeling ill is that you start indulging in painful narratives. The fact that you're ill, the fact that you might be able to die, it weighs the mind down. At the time when the mind doesn't need to be weighed down, it needs to find some lightness, it needs to find some opening. It needs to be in a position where it's not compelled to think. It's not a slave to the pains in the body. It's not compelled to think in terms of the restrictions that the body seems to be placing on it. You can overcome those restrictions by making your mind more expansive. Space, goodwill, and enlarged breath energy that permeates not only in the body but around the body. All of these perceptions can really help. And you have to have the attitude is whether the body stays or the body goes, the important thing is the state of the mind. And you figure out everything you can to help maintain a good, healthy state of the mind. Even when your perceptions are screaming in your ears that you're going to die, or you're being confined in ways that you don't want, you don't have to listen to those voices. You have to figure out your way around them. One way is to think of things in an elemental way. You've got the elements here in the body. They may be out of balance. Think in ways to try to bring them into balance. And if you can't bring them into balance, at least work with the breath. Work with a sense of an expansive mind. So your mind isn't being pushed around by the body. And as long as we're healthy, it's good to learn to figure these things out, to find these potentials so that we can draw on them when the time comes when we're not healthy. There's one line of teaching that I really don't understand where people say, there's nothing to figure out, just sort of be with things and you'll be okay. There's a lot to figure out. This is what directed thought and evaluation are for, to figure out how to get the mind to settle down, how to protect the mind, how to make use of the potentials that you've got, because they don't come with labels. They don't come with sets of instructions. We have the wisdom of those who've gone on before, people who've had experience in this way and left behind some ideas. But we have to learn how to figure out how to understand their teachings and how those teachings apply to our condition right now. We take their teachings as tools to explore what's going on in the body, what's going on in the mind. And this way we can develop a body of knowledge that comes from our own exploration. I've been reading about survivalists in Alaska. And to survive there, you've got to have a lot of knowledge. You've got to figure things out. There's one family that has a plane, has earth movers. And the people in the family have to know how to fix these things. They can't say, gee, this is breaking down. I'll run down to the mechanic. The mechanic is hundreds of miles away. What you've got to understand if you're going to survive. So you draw on the knowledge of others, you draw on your own powers of observation. You try to figure things out. So when the unexpected happens, you're prepared. And this is even more the case with the survival of the mind. There are lots of tricks in the mind. The mind plays lots and lots of tricks on itself. Now, if you don't want to be fooled by those tricks, you've got to figure them out. So we have these potentials here. We have the breath. We have space. We have all the elements in the body, the basic properties of the body, earth, water, wind, fire, the space that surrounds and permeates it, the awareness that knows these things. And we have the ability to think. So learn how to use these elemental properties. And don't let the mind get carried away by discouraging thoughts, despairing thoughts. Even as the world seems to be closing in, there's a way out. And the Buddha found that way, not by sitting around and simply accepting things as they are, but figuring out what was he doing that was giving bad results, and how could he change his actions so he could get better results. He had a mind that was good at thinking in terms of similes. So he'd ask himself, how am I patterning my actions? What other patterns are there? So use your ingenuity, use your powers of observation. Don't overlook the basic elementary properties that you've got. And you find that you can work your way through. So when the world does close in, you know the way out.